Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Rosh Hashanah, daf Yud Gimel. We left off on daf Yud Beis, Amud Beis. We are at, Hatuva Vazes Mishviyu Shlish is where we will start from. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children. It's also sponsored by Mr. and Dr. Moshe Kleinman, Le'ili Nishmas, Yaakov Alexander Ben Tzvi Yitzchak Alav Shalom. And as the Shiva for Yaakov Alexander comes to a close, we wish the entire family a tremendous sense of Nechama. We thank both sponsors very much for the sponsorship. We are again holding on the bottom of Yud Beis and Beis, and the Gemara is going to talk about the source that a year of produce is determined by one third of its growth. How do we know that that's the determining factor as to which year this produce belongs to? Then the Gemara is going to discuss whether the Chacham were expert enough in botany to be able to figure out what is one third of its growth. How did they? Did the Chacham have that kind of knowledge? And then the Gemara is going to discuss where did Klal Yisrael get grain for the first Korban Omer in the first year in Eretz Yisrael? Was the grain grown under the jurisdiction and the ownership of the non-Jews that were there before Klal Yisrael got into Eretz Yisrael? Are you allowed to use such grain? Was it able to grow quickly enough from the time they entered Eretz Yisrael to ready bring the Korban Omer on the second day of Pesach? And then the Gemara is going to have a rejection of the first source and an altered source that one third growth determines the year of the produce. You know, back to that discussion. Then the Gemara is going to talk about where not all produce is determined by one third. Sometimes it's determined by hashrasha. And what type of produce do we assume that the taking root in the ground is what determines which year that produce belongs to? And then at the very end of the daf, there are going to be three different statements of halacha, of paskening halacha. And in tomorrow's daf, we're going to discuss why we need all three of those statements, what each one is coming to teach me. So let's begin. Again, let's go back to Tavua v'Zesim Mishiviu Shlish. So the Gemara had said that when it comes to Tavua and Zesim, the determining factor of which year it's going to be, about six lines before the lines get wide, the determining factor of which year it's going to be is going to be when did it grow to one third of its growth. So says the Gemara, Minani Mili, how do I know that the shear is until it grow one third of its growth? So Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yochanan, Umatu Ba, Mishmed Rav Yossi Aglili, Amar Kra, the Pasuk says, by the parsha of Hakel, Miket Sheva Shana B'Moed Shnas HaShmita B'Chag HaSukos. So Shnas HaShmita, Maya Vinte B'Chag HaSukos. What does the Shnas HaShmita have to do with Chag HaSukos? Shminasi. The Chag HaSukos is already in the eighth year because the end of the seventh year ends before Chag HaSukos. By the time Chag HaSukos comes, it's already the eighth year. So that's not Shnas HaShmita. Elolomerlach. It's to tell you. Kol Tavua Sheviyah Shlish B'Shviyis Lefnei Rosh Shana Atanoig B'Minik Shviyis B'Shviyis. If you have grain that grew to one third of its growth before Rosh Hashanah, then you're knowing the Kedusha Shviyas even during the eighth year. By calling Chag HaSukos the Shnas HaShmita, even though Chag HaSukos is in fact the eighth year, is because there are things that grow in the eighth year, but nevertheless still have a din of a Shmita produce, meaning it's still growing at the beginning of the eighth year, but we still consider it Shmita produce. Why? Because it reached one third of its growth during the Shmita year. So yes, it continued to grow after Rosh Hashanah of the eighth year, but since it reached one third of its growth during the Shemitah year, we consider this Shemitah produce. So you see, a right from here, that Tavua, you follow Shlish Legabi Shviyas. And who Adin, if you follow Shlish with regard to the halachos of whether it's considered Shemitah produce or not, you're also going to follow Shlish with regard to Maestros as well. So Amalei Rabbi Zeira, the Rabbi Yassi, Rabbi Zeira challenges Rabbi Yassi. How do we know that the Torah is talking about produce that grew to one third during the seventh year and then continued to grow into the eighth year, and that's why it has kedusha shvius? Maybe we're talking about something that didn't ripen at all, didn't grow at all during the seventh year. And nevertheless, the Torah is still telling us moich nasa shmita that tishamit v'tezel, that the shmita halachos should continue into the eighth year, and you still have to be noheg all the halachos of shmita, not to be choresha, not to be Zoreya at the beginning of the eighth year, Ad Chag HaSukos. Meaning maybe it's giving me a shear for Tosefes Shviyas. How do I know it's telling me that, oh, because something grew before Rosh Hashanah to one third of its growth, then even though it continues to grow up until Chag HaSukos, you still treat it with Kedusha Shviyas? Maybe when the Torah refers to up until Sukkos as part of the Shemitah, it's telling me Tosefes Shviyas, you have to continue following all of the rules of Shviyas until Sukkos. So says Marlo Salkadaitach. Now that can't be that the Torah is talking about about tevuah that didn't grow at all during the Shemitah year, the Chassid, because the Pasuk says, V'chag ha'asif b'tseis hashana. So my asif, what does it mean, chag ha'asif? Why does the Torah call sukkahs chag ha'asif? Ile m'chag ha'ba b'zman ha'sifa. If it's coming to tell me that it's the chag that comes at the time that they gather the payros from the fields, that can't be, because ha'ksiv ba'asbicha. The same pasuk says, ba'asbicha es ma'asech min ha'sada. So the Torah already says that chag ha'sukkahs is during the zman ha'sifa. So what does the chag ha'asif add that I don't already know from other pesukim? Ela my asif. So what is the Torah telling me when it says asif? It doesn't mean that the asifas haperos, it's not referring to the asifas haperos that have already been harvested prior. No, it means katsir. Over here, the word asif means the harvesting itself, the harvesting that's done right now. And it's telling me that on chag that comes during the zman asifa, then asif, what you harvest right now, the grain that's harvested on chag asukos is considered to belong to the previous year, to the Shemitah year. Meaning, if you're harvesting it on the eighth year, Chag HaSukkos of the eighth year, that's grain that belongs to the previous year. And where does that? How do I know that has anything to do with growing one third during the Shemitah year? Because v'kimluhu the Rabbanan, had this expertise, this knowledge to call tevuah shenikzer b'chag biyadua sheviyish shlish lefnei Rosh Hashanah v'kari lebetzeis Hashanah. That any tevuah that's ready to be harvested on Sukkos, you know that it grew to one third of its growth before Rosh Hashanah, and the Torah calls it betzeis Hashanah. It's considered the tevuah from the previous year, and therefore you know a Kedusha Shavuos with this produce. So that's how we see that when the Torah says B'moed Shnasa Shemitah B'chag HaSukkos, it doesn't mean that you're knowing the halachos of Shemitah until Chag HaSukkos. No, it means that grain that you're going to be harvesting on Chag HaSukkos has already grown to or ripened to one third of its ripening, however you understand Shlish, to one third of its ripening in the previous year, and therefore that has Kedusha Shavuos. Now Tosfos raises the question that we already learned Tosefes Shavuos is from Becharish Ubekatsir Tishbos, that it's an extra pasuk, so it teaches me about Becharish Shalerev Shvius, Shenichnas Shvius, and Katsir Shal Shvius, that's Yotze Lemotzai Shvius. So we already know such a halacha. So how could it be that it's telling me Atanoi Minig Shvius Bishminis? How could the Gemara have a Havamina? The Gemara is saying, oh, maybe, you know what it's really telling me? It's telling me that you have a din of Tosefa Shvius. That's what it. That's why it refers to Sukkos as the eighth year as being part of the Shemitah year. No, I already have a source for that. I already know Tosefes Shvius. So Tosfos raises this question. So the Achronim explained, Tosfos is asking, why do I need a pasuk of Becharish Ubekatsir Tishbos if I could just get it from Shnasa, from our sugya of Shnasa Shemitah? So Tosfos suggests that, first of all, the pasuk of Becharish Ubekatsir Tishbos is coming to tell me that there's an Isser Charisha in Tosefes Shvius as well. That not only do the rest of the halachas of Shemitah extend, but the Isser Charisha as well. Or he says, maybe you need two psukim, one to tell me that payros that grew during Shemitah year are noe kedusha shviyas even during the eighth year and asr b'schora and have all the dinim of payros shviyas, and the other pasuk tell me that you're not allowed to do the actual avodah sakarka, the charisha, the katsira during the eighth year by an ilan and by tfua that have payros that grew during the Shemitah year, and you're not allowed to do work on them if it's going to help, it's going to promote the growth of that produce, because that's still considered Shemitah produce. Okay, so now the Gemara has shown us where we derive this idea that if it grows a shlish during Shemitah year, that's already Shemitah produce, and from there we also know that whenever it comes to determining what year any produce belongs to, you always go with shlish. You always go to when it grew one third. So Amalei Rabbi Yirmiya Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Yirmiya is the one that challenges Rabbi Zeira. The Kimelulu Rabbanon bein shlish l'pachas mishlish. Were the Rabbanon such experts in farming to know the difference between grain that is one third grown and grain that's less than one third grown? If it's less than a third before Rosh Hashanah, that it's not roi to be niktzar on Sukkos, and if it is more than one third, it's roi to be niktzar on Sukkos. The Ran writes that I understand by tevuah that is detached from the ground. You could weigh it, you could measure it. You know, it's a But Tavua, that's already still Mechubel Karka, how can they figure out the exact Zman where it's Hevi Shlish before the Zman Ketzira? How could they possibly know such a thing? So Rabbi Yirmiya didn't know how they could be so precise to have such a knowledge. So Amar Leis, Rabbi Zeira said to Rabbi Yirmiya, Lava Minilach, didn't I tell you, Lo Tepuk Nafshach Levar Mi Hilchsa, don't bring yourself out of the halachos that the Chum say, don't extract yourself from the world of halacha as it's taught with precision by being mefakpek after each of the shiurim. Kol midos chachamim kenu. Whenever the chachamim give a shiur, they give a shiur in with precision, and we don't have rishus laharar achreim. That is the shiur. For example, barbaim sa'u tovel, barbaim sa'u chaser kortav, en yachlit bol behen. If you have a mikveh that's exactly 40 sa', good, you could tovel in a mikveh that's exactly 40 sa'. If it's 40 sa' missing a kortav, which is a little bit, a shminis shebashminis of a lug, it's a tiny amount of water, even though it's just a little less, it's just under 40 sa, you can't tovel in it, because the shear is 40 sa. Kebetza metame, the halacha is that a kebetza of ochlin becomes tame, to be metame other foods, tumas ochlin, with tumas ochlin, meaning only if you have a kebetza of tame food, will it have the capacity to be metame other things with tumas ochlin. There is machlokas Rashi and Tosos throughout Shas, whether pachas mikabetza could become tame itself, but there's no doubt that in order to be metame other things, it needs to be a kebetza. So machlokas Rishon, whether it can be tame if it's pachas mikabetza, but it certainly can't be mitame if it's pachas mikabetza. So the shear is a kebetza, kebetza chasr shum shum, but if it's one sesame seed smaller than a kebetza, any metame tumas ochlin, then all of a sudden it's not metame tumas ochlin. Al shlosha betame medrus. If you have a beged that's 3x3 tefachim, it could have tumas medrus, because the chachamim assume that that's a beged that's royally yeshiva. Shlosha al shlosha chaser nima achas. But if it's just one thread less than shlosha al shlosha, ain't a metame medrus, and it's not metame medrus. So you see that all of the shiurei chachamim were said with precision, and we have to follow exactly as it was said. And a person can't say, "Ah, oh, what difference does it make if it's just one thread that's missing from the beged? If it's just one quart of missing from the mikveh." So this was Rabbi Yirmiya's. Rabbi Yirmiya seems to have had trouble with this throughout Shas. In this sugi over here, clearly Rabbi Yirmiya is questioning how could they know what exactly shlish is, as if the chachamim didn't have this level of precision. And you have a similar discussion in Maseches Bava Basra and Daf Chaf Gimel Amud Beis, where the Gemara says that you assume that if a bird is unable to fly, that it would hop up until 50 amos away from its shovach, but it wouldn't go more than 50 amos away from its shovach. So the Gemara in the sugya of Rov Karov, where we talk about Agla Rufa and how we determine whether, you know, what something belongs to, whether this bird belongs to that nest or not, right, to the nearby nest. So if it's a bird that's unable to fly, the Gemara says, if it's within 50 amos of a nest, yeah, it belongs to that nest. It probably hopped away up until 50 amos. But if it's more than 50 amos away, the bird wouldn't hop more than 50 amos away from its nest, then it must have been dropped by some passerby. Then it couldn't have come from that nest. It had to have been dropped by someone who was carrying that bird. So now you have the Ruba di Alma, where it probably came from, probably does not belong to that nest, right? That's in the sugi of Rova Karov. Do you follow that which is closest by, or do you follow Ruba di Alma, the Rove that where it could have come from? But over there, Rabbi Yirmiya asks the question. He says, and you mean to tell me if the bird has 1 foot within 50 amos and 1 foot over 50 amos, that far it won't go? It will go 50 amos, but it won't go one foot over 50 amos? And the Gemara says, Alda afkul Rabbi Yirmiya be midrasha. For asking such a question, they threw him out of the base medrash. So Tosfos writes, they threw him out because he questioned the shiur melacham. Kol midos cham kenu. If they said it goes 50 amos, it means not 50 amos and a centimeter, not 50 amos and a little bit. It means exactly 50 amos. In the end of Maseches Babasra, the Gemara says that the other colleagues sent Rabbi Yirmiya that Eid Echad Biksavo, so they said, they sent him a certain halacha, and he said, Ani eni kedai sheshalachtem li. I'm not worthy of you sending me shayla, but this is the way your talmidim darshin. And alda ailul Rabbi Yirmiya be midrasha. And when he said that, when he had such an anivus to the chachamim, and he was so kafuf to the chachamim, they brought him back into the base medrash. And the reason that was a reason to bring him back into the base medrash, because he did tshuva, meaning his whole problem was that he wasn't wasn't mechabed the divrei chachamim enough. When they saw that he was hesitant to give his own opinion, but said, you know, the talmidei chachamim say like this, even though I don't know anything, talmidei chachamim say like this. So you see that he valued the talmidei chachamim, and therefore they were able to bring him back into the yeshiva, back into the Beis HaMedrash. What does it mean, kol midus chachamim kachem? The Ritva explains that you can't be medaktik b'shir, that it should be no less and no more, and if you come to be medaktik, then you're not going to be able to give any shir for anything, because a person could always say, by any shir, that come on, just a little bit less or a little bit more. So it sounds like from the Ritva, it's not really that the Chum knew, let's say by the bird case, it's not really that the Chum knew that no bird on earth could travel 50 amos in an inch, but every bird could go up until 50 amos when it's hopping away from the nest. Now, obviously, there are going to be stronger birds that are able to go a little bit further, and weaker birds that won't even be able to make it 50 amos. But it's like a low plug that the Chum had to make when coming up with the shear, and we have to respect that low plug. It sounds that way from Rashi Maseches Ksubos as well, that Shehemidu Yosid Velo Tamut, that the Chacham made it like they established this, and you just have to do it. So it sounds like it's midin low plug, and that's what they quote from other Rishonim as well. The idea that Memsa also sounds like this kind of low plug, because Memsa, what's the vart of Memsa? That a human body can fit in Memsa, fully engulfed. There are smaller bodies and there are bigger bodies. So it sounds like it's a low plug. However, it's a little bit difficult to understand how you could have a low plug on a daraisa. A low plug is a concept, midrabanan. If it's only midrabanan, so midaraisa, the tefillah would work, because by a daraisa we don't find a low plug. That's the Sfasemis wonders. So he says, based on Tosos, that all the shiurim are kabbalah biyad chachamim and ain lefakbek behem, that maybe it's not a low plug. It's a din daraisa. This is the shiur, and not like because usually it works. No, because it always works, because this is not a matter of metzias. It's a matter of halacha, and the halacha determines that this is the shiur. One other ha'ar over here, the Maritz Chayas and Maseches Yuma points out that even though all the shiurim are halacha l'moshe v'sinai, that's only when it comes to shiurim like kadasha, b'kazayis, b'gris, b'koseves, b'krogros, k'beitza, just the list of shiurim. But to tell me which shiur is what for malchus, for achila, which shiur is the shiur for bal yirah, which shiur is the shiur for achila and yom kippurim, meaning to line up which shiur belongs to that, that's the nimshar kosvel chachamim. That's given to the chacham to determine, and that's why it's called kol midos chachamim kehu. Even though they didn't make up the shiurim, they had to determine. It was up to the chacham to determine which of the shiurim that they received halacha l'moshe misinai belonged to which of the halachos, and they bring a raya from our sugya, because even though mikvah, the shiur of memsa is min haTorah, but nevertheless it's called midos chachamim. Why is it called midos chachamim? It's clearly a shiur mida oraisa, because the chacham determined which shiur mida oraisa we're going to apply. That's the impression you get from that sugya in the beginning of Masech HaSukkah, because the Gemara in Masech HaSukkah tries to figure out where we get all of the shiurim from. The Gemara says, oh, it's a pasuk, eretz chito teina, right? Goes through the shivas aminim and tells us how each of the shivas aminim refers to a different shiur, eretz shakol shiurah kazesim, and we learn kosev sagas, and we learn but that pasuk, even as the Gemara ultimately rejects it, says that's not really pshat in the pasuk. That's the pasuk is just an asmachta, and it's really halacha l'moshe v'sinai. But what's the havamina? How do you see from that pasuk what's what? All you see is that there's a list of items that have different measurements. So the impression that you get was that the havamina is that that's all that you're going to have. That's midaraisa anyway. Midaraisa, you're not going to know exactly what's what. The chachamim have to figure out what's what. But the Torah gives us, the daraisa din gives us what the shiurim are, and then it was up to the chachamim to determine which shiur belongs to what. Now the raya from our sugya that memsa is clearly min haTorah, and we call it shiurim chachamim, that's assuming that memsa is min haTorah. The levush holds min haTorah, you don't need memsa. That's only a din midrabanan, in which case you wouldn't have any raya from our sugya, because it makes sense that we call it a drabanan, that we call it shiurim chachamim, because the whole thing is only a din midrabanan. Hadar Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah. Then Rabbi Yirmiyah came back and he said, "Lav milsi hida amri. Whatever I asked before, Are the chum such bikim to know pachs mishlish, more than a shlish of the growth? That was a mistake. Of course they know such things. Because the other chachamim asked Rav Kahana that the pasuk says in the Torah that when the Jewish people enter Eretz Yisrael, so they have to do ktsiras ha'omer and they have to bring the karban omer. So the mashmas of the pasuk is that as soon as they enter Eretz Yisrael, they got to bring a karban omer. So they asked, omer shekriv yisrael b'chnisas la'aretz. That first year when the Jewish people came into Eretz Yisrael to be mekayim this mitzvah, mehechan ikrivuhu, where did they get the grain to bring the karban omer? Sayim tomer da'ayil biyad nachri, if you're going to say that they brought from grain that grew and ripened while a guy owned that field, well, k'tzir chem amar achmanah v'lo k'tzir nachri. Pasuk says k'tzir chem, don't we learn from there that k'tzir nachri is not good enough? So where in the world did they bring this karban omer from? Min chaschinuch in mitzvah shin beis, just says that he points out that before they entered into Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael didn't have Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, because Eretz Yisrael was Neskadesh through Kibush Yehoshua, even though it was a Yerusha for us, but it didn't have Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. It was a Yerusha in Dine Mamnes, like Kodesh Baruch Hu promised to Avraham Avinu, and that we were going to get it, and we yarshened it already in the Midbar, but the Kedushas Eretz Yisrael was only Al Yidei Kibush. So why doesn't the Gemara ask, where did they bring the carbon omer from? Because it grew one shlish before they got into Eretz Yisrael, before the land was Eretz Yisrael, before the land had Kedushas Haaretz. Forget about if it was owned by a Jew, non-Jew, that's irrelevant. It didn't have Kedushas Haaretz anyway. So Chaznish says that's in fact the Gemara's question, because the Gemara Menach says that if Chadash in Chutz Haaretz is also min HaTorah, Omer is Omer could also be brought in Chutz Laaretz. So you have to say that since they didn't have a din of Chadash on the Tevua at a time that they hadn't yet come into Eretz Yisrael, so they shouldn't have been eligible to bring the Karban Omer from Eretz Yisrael. And that's the Gemara's question. Ktzir Chem velo Ktzir Nachri, that the Ktzir Shal Artzchem, that it's already your land, Ktzir Chem, it has to already belong to you. There have to have been Kibush of Yoshua, and not when it's still Ktzir Nachri. So anyway, so the Gemara is asking, how did they bring the Karban Omer? So says the Gemara, mi maida akrivu, dilma lo akrivu. Maybe they didn't bring a Karban Omer that year. Maybe because they weren't chayiv to bring a Karban Omer until after Kibush and Chalukah Sa'aretz. Or maybe they just, they were chayiv, but anus rachman apatre. They had nothing to bring the Karban Omer from, because they didn't have any grain that was eligible to be used for Karban Omer. So says the Gemara, no, lo salkadaituch. You can't say that they didn't bring a Karban Omer. Dichsiv, vayochlu me'avura aretz, mi machras ha'pesach. That they started eating from the grain of Eretz Yisrael from the day after the first day of Pesach. So what happens on that day? Elamai, they must have brought a Karban Omer. If it was something that they were not chayiv to bring Karban Omer, then there should be no Isser of Chadash, and they should be allowed to continue eating after Machras HaPesach. They should be allowed to eat even before Machras HaPesach. There's not going to be any chayiv Karban Omer. They should be allowed to eat the Tevuah Chadash anyway. From the fact that something changes on Machras HaPesach, that tells me that there must have been a Karban Omer, that there must have been a Karban Omer that's brought on the second day of Pesach, and that's what allowed them to eat from Tevuah Sa'aretz. So there must have been an Isser Chadash, that so long as they didn't bring the Omer, Chadash was Aser. Sada Kriv Omer Vahadarachli. It must be that after they brought the Omer, that's when they started to eat the Tevua that grew in Eretz Yisrael. So you see that they brought the Karban Omer in the first year, and they waited until, and that's why they waited until the second day of Pesach. So again, back to the question, Mehechan Ikrivu, where did they get the grain for this Karban Omer? So now the Gemara goes back, Amar Lahen, Rav Kahana says, Kol Shelo Hevi Shlish B'Yad Nachri, any grain that did not grow to one-third of its growth while owned by a Nachri, and such grain is considered to be eligible for a Karban Omer. It's not considered to be Ktzir Nachri. So Rabbi Yirmiyah brings his Raya, concludes his Raya, Vidilma Ayil V'lo Kimlehu, but it could be that it already grew one-third and the Chum couldn't tell, the Chum didn't know, El Kimlehu. Must be that they knew at that time they were Bekiyim enough to know that it grew one-third. So Chanami Kimlehu. So when it comes to Tevua that's harvested in Chag HaSukkos, we have to assume that the Chum have this expertise to know that it grew one-third of its growth prior to Rosh Hashanah. You have to assume that that it's Kimlehu, that they have this knowledge. Now, this idea of a dilma ayil velo kimlehu, it means how could they have brought the carbon omer from tzvua that was not niskadel shlish in the biyad nachri? Maybe they think it was not niskadel shlish, but it really was, right? That was his raya, that it must be that they have this expertise, because otherwise, how could they bring anything? Everything would have been a suffix. They would think, oh, this looks like it was not niskadel shlish biyad nachri, but maybe it really was, and then it would be a suffix, and they wouldn't be allowed to bring a carbon omer. So the place he asks a very sharp question. Place he says, you know, there is a machlokas Rambam and Rashba about the din of Safik Daraisa L'Chumra. We know that that's like a given. Safik Daraisa L'Chumra, Safik Drabban L'Kula, right? That's like one of the basic klalim in halacha. But there's a machlokas Rambam and Rashba, the din that Safik Daraisa L'Chumra, is that itself a din Daraisa or is that a din Drabbanan? We know la halacha Safik Daraisa L'Chumra, but who taught us that din of Safik Daraisa L'Chumra? Is that a din min HaTorah that you follow L'Chumra on the din Daraisa, or is that a din midrabbanan that by Daraisas you go L'Chumra? According to the Shitas HaRambam, who holds that Savik Daraisa L'Chumra is only a din midrabanan, but midaraisa, Savik Daraisa would be L'Kula, so what's the Kasha over here? How could they have brought the Korban Omer? They don't know if it's Hevi Shlish or not, and if they don't know what status does it have, has a status of Suffolk. If the Din Min HaTorah is at Suffolk Daraisa L'Kula, then they should be allowed to bring the Korban Omer, even Misuffolk. So what's Rabbi Yirmiyah's whole Raya over here? So some suggest, based on what Rashi writes, that the fact that the Rabbanim don't know is because they're not expert enough in the way grain grows. And if that's the case, that's not a real Suffolk. That's a Suffolk Machmas Chesron Yediya. And that, the Rambam is Moda, that is Min HaTorah L'Chumra. Suffolk Daraisa L'Chumra, you have a Suffolk in Halacha. But if you have Suffolk in Metzias, you just don't know, you're just not knowledgeable enough. But if you go study and you take a botany class, you'll know better. So then that's not called a Suffolk. That, even the Rambam would agree, if you have that kind of Suffolk, you always have to go to Chumrah, even Min HaTorah. The Chavis Das says that over here there's a miut that beferish in the pasuk Ktzirchem, and Ktzirchem doesn't just mean Velo Ktzir Nachri, it also means Velo Ktzir Suffolk. So Ktzirchem is a miut that tells me that it has to dafka be Ktzirchem. So that's how they're miyashev the places kasha. Now this whole deal in the Gemara about bringing Korban Omer when they come into Eretz Yisrael, where do they bring it from? So since the Omer has to be brought from Tavua that was rotway for Ktzira biyad Yisrael, Ktzirchem and not Ktzir Nachri, the Ran asks the question, why didn't the Gemara just say that they brought the Korban Omer from Eivrei Yarden, from the Chelik of Bnei Gad and Bnei Ruvain, and over there it's Ktzirchem, they were in possession of that land for quite some time before they crossed the Yarden and came into Eretz Yisrael. So he says it's not mistaber that the very first Omer that they brought was Shaloki Ikar Din, meaning the Ikar Din L'Chadchila is to bring it Me Yehuda. So to go bring it Me Ever Yarden, kosher, yeah, it's kosher. If you bring it Me Ever Yarden, B'diavet. We don't do things L'Chadchila. When you start something off, it can't be done in a B'diavet way. That's one of the answers, one of the many answers, 500 answers I think they're up to now, to the question of, well no, that's a different question, but one of the two famous questions about Hanukkah, that if Tumas Hutra B'tzibur, why did they need to, what was the great necessity for the miracle of Shemen Zayizach, of finding pure Shemen? Anyway, they could have just brought from Shemen that was Tameh. So one of the more accepted answers is that, yeah, they could have brought from Shemen that's Tameh, Maker Din, that would have been fine. But this is a Chanukah Samigdash. And by Chanukah Samigdash, that's to start something. You don't start something with, when it's off a little bit. You don't start something in a B'diavid way. When you start something L'Chadchila. And then, if it falls to a B'diavid from time to time, so it will fall back to a B'diavid. But when at the beginning of anything, it always has to begin with a L'Chadchila. It's a big Yisod in general. That's why, that's probably why, maybe that's the explanation the Gemara tells us in a couple of places, that what's the age of chinuch for mitzvahs for children in different mitzvahs? So the Gemara says it depends on the mitzvah. There's no single age for chinuch for mitzvahs. So when it comes to lulav mishiyodeh l'naneya, when he knows how to do the nanuim of the lulav, then you're mechanichim in the mitzvah of lulav. Tfilin mishayach lishmar guf naki, when he's able to keep a guf naki. Now wait a second. In order to fulfill the mitzvah of lulav, what do you need to do? The Gemara says beferish mida agbe nafakbe. You pick it up, yotzei the mitzvah. That's it. That's all you need to do. You don't need to do the Nanum. Nanum are nice. They're Shiyari Mitzvah, the Gemara calls it. It's Gira Be'ina de Sitna. It keeps away the Ruchos, you know, and the bad storms. It does a lot of wonderful things for us, the Gemara in Sukkah says. But it's not the Mitzvah. The Mitzvah is, the Iker Mitzvah is just to pick up the Lulav. So why would a Mechanich, a child, have to wait until he's Yodel and Anea, until he can do all the Nanum? And only then is there a Chiyuv Chinuch in the Mitzvah. And the same is true with Tefillin. To be Yotzei the Mitzvah Tefillin, you put him on. Yotzei the Mitzvah Tefillin. There's no, what are you, Glishmar Gufnaki? That's to do it right. So Elamai, because you're starting the child off in a life of mitzvahs, when you teach him to do a mitzvah, it's got to start off right. Whenever you're starting something, you have to start it off on the highest level, on the mitzvah min amuvchar level. And then you can, if need be, from time to time, where things have to fall back to a bidiyavet. So that's the suggestion. That's why the Gemara couldn't imagine that the first Korban Omer that they're going to bring is going to come from Eivor HaYarden, which is not the mitzvah l'chadchila. Okay, so anyway, so now the Gemara asks on Rabbi Yirmiyah's Raya, how do we know that the Chachamim were able to recognize the Tavua that already began to ripen if it grew a shlish bishulo, v'dilma lo ayil klal? Maybe they took for the Korban Omer grain that had not grown at all and until they had gotten into Eretz Yisrael, and they saw the grain grow fully under their ownership. And that's why they were able to bring it up. Hechadayil riva, but maybe if it grew to 25% of its growth prior to their arrival, bein shlish l'paksim shlish l'kimlehu, maybe they didn't have that expertise. Maybe they weren't able to determine whether it was a shlish gidulo or not. Says Mar Lo Salkadayich. That's unthinkable. That the chsiv v'ha'am alum in a yardin basal chodesh. Look at the dates. They crossed the yardin on the 10th day of Nisan. V'salkadayich lo'ayel klal. If they brought grain on the 16th of Nisan that had not grown at all by the 10th of Nisan, is it possible that grain is going to grow to such an extent in 5 days? It's not possible that it would get to that point where it's going to be fully ripened in 5 days. Elamai, what do you have to say? Da'il riva, odanka, that it must have grown on Yud Nisan to a certain extent, 25%, 1/6. Akati b'chamisha yomim mikamalia, says where you still have the same kasha. If it was only 25% of its growth, 5 days is not going to bring it to its full growth. There's no way that would be enough time for it to be ready for the Korban Omer. Elamai yislach l'meimor, what do you have to say in order to explain how it grew that quickly? Eretz Tzvi Ksivba. Eretz Yisrael is different. Eretz Yisrael is an Eretz HaTzvi. So since it's an Eretz Tzvi, just like a Tzvi is very quick, it's the fastest of all the Chayos, so Eretz Yisrael is very quick to be Mevashal Piroseha, for its fruits to ripen. There are a number of ways that Eretz Tzvi is descriptive of Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says that Matzvi Ein Oro Machzikas Besara, that looks like its skin is too tight. It's like a suit that's too tight on it, like someone who gained a few pounds where the suit is too tight. So the tzvi has or that's not machzik as besaro. It looks like the basar is like bursting out of its or. So too, Eretz Yisrael is this tiny little country, but somehow it can contain so much within that tiny little country. So over here, Eretz Tzvi, we're saying a different part. That Eretz Tzvi is that just like a tzvi runs very fast, so too Eretz Yisrael is able to produce its produce to ripen so quickly. So Achinami Eretz Tzvi Ksivba. So by that token, if it can grow 75% of its growth in 5 days, it can grow 100% of its growth in 5 days. So what's your raya, Rabbi Yirmiyah, that they must have known, and been able to tell the difference between shlish of its growth and not one shlish of its growth? My Rabbi Rav Shachter called his first sefer Eretz HaTzvi, and he writes in the introduction that he called it Eretz HaTzvi. Well, first of all, because his name is Tzvi. So you're supposed to pick a name to the sefer that has your name alluded to in the topic. But he said one of the things about Eretz Yisrael is that kol echad is makir es mekomo, that it's necessary for everyone to be makir their tribal holding, right? All the dinim of Yovel Daraisa being chal again, being observing Shemitah Daraisa and Yovel coming back, that's not only tali on Rov Yoshve Aleha, it's also tali on everyone being makir es mekomo and all the shvatim knowing knowing their spot, and the person has to know their makom in Torah and recognize their makom in Torah. What does it mean to recognize their makom in Torah? It means to explore it and to be figure out what your contribution in Torah is, and to develop that contribution in Torah. But anyway, so the Gemara now says, okay, let's go back to that pasuk that we started with. V'chag ha'asif b'tzeis hashana. We said chag ha'asif means the time of Katsira, that Sukkot is referred to as the time of the harvesting, and that the grain that you harvest on Sukkot relates back to last year's grain, and from there we know that hava'as shlish is the shear. So maskev Rabbi Chanina, mimas samrit tahay asif katsiru. Can you really say that asif means katsir, that it means harvesting? Vaksiv ba'as b'cham megardu cham yikvecha va'amr mar. And when we learn from that pasuk that b'psolus garden v'yakev akasim medaber, that it's coming to tell me that when you make schach it should be from the psolus garden v'yakev. So the from things that are not mekabel tumah and that are gidulim in haaretz. So when it says v'chag ha'asif b'seis hashan, it's not coming to tell me about the asifas haperos or the tavua. It's coming to tell me that's the name of the chag, because chag ha'sukos, chag ha'asif is bas b'cham megardu cham yikvecha. It means the psolus garden v'yakev. It's as if it's saying chag ha'sukos bas b'chas ma'asecha. So am Rabbi Zeira ha'milsa havay b'yadan. This idea that we thought we had a raya from a pasuk that by tavua you follow shlish gidulo, we had it. V'asa Rabbi Chanina shad b'narga. Now Rabbi Chanina tells us we got it all wrong. He chopped it down with an axe. He gave us a response that rejects our whole limud. Elaminalan. So how do I know that you follow shlish gidulo when it comes to tavua? Back to the drawing board now, says the Gemara. How do I know we could follow shlish gidulo? K'detanya. Rabbi Yonasan ben Yosef Omer. Pasuk says that even though they didn't plant during the Shemitah year, nevertheless you're always going to have enough produce during the Shemitah year and during the 8th year of Bracha. Your field is going to produce enough for 3 years worth of produce. So al tikri l'shalosh ella l'shlish. Don't read it l'shalosh, but l'shlish. It's telling me that tavua grown to one third is considered to be that year's produce. So vami by leilu gufei, but says Gemara, but I already need this pasuk to tell me that the bracha that it's giving me that you're going to have 3 years worth of produce from one field. Now k'siv krachri. Now we find another pasuk. Zratim es shana shmiyus v'chaltim en tavua yashan ad shana chiyus. That don't worry, you're going to eat from the old produce up until the 9th year, because what you grew in the 6th year is going to last you for long enough for not only the 6th year and the 7th year and the 8th year. So we already know from another pasuk, so that's why this pasuk is free to teach me that we grow that which grows one third is this year's produce. So once the Gemara explained the din of tavua and zaysim, that we follow the shlish, the Gemara discusses kidneys, different types of beans. What is the zman that it has to, what milestone does it have to hit for it to be considered that year's kidneys? So it's not nasim ha'oriz v'adochet v'apragim v'ashumshmin she'shrishu l'fnei rashana v'sashun l'sha'avar. If they took root before rashana, then they count as the previous year's produce u'mutarim b'shviyas, and therefore they're going to be mutter during the Shemitah year v'im lav. But if they were only hishrish after Rosh Hashanah, so after Rosh Hashanah of the Shemitah year, then asurim b'shviyas, then they're Shemitah produce, and they have all the normally surim they'd have of Shemitah produce and m'sashun l'shana haba, and the dinim for maisos would be for the following year. Amar Rabba, Amar Rabbanan, Ilan Basar Chanata, Tvua V'zeisim Basar Shlish, Yerek Basar Lakita, Hani Keman Shavin Rabbanan. We have all these different milestones that different items have to reach in order to be considered that year's produce. So when it comes to Ilan, we follow the Chanata, we follow the budding of the fruit. When it comes to Tvua and Zeisim, we follow Shlish. When it comes to Yerek, we follow Lakita at the time you pick it out of the ground. But these kidneys that we're talking about, Orez and Dochen and all these other things, when the Chum determined that it's going to belong to a category normally called Tikkun Rabban Kendar Raisa Tikkun, which category does it fit in? Hadar Amar Rabba. So Rabba had to explain the reason the Chum had to follow Hashrasha Mitok Shasuyin Prachin Prachin, because it doesn't all get picked at one time. You pick some and you put it away, and then you pick more. So Azir Rabban Basra Hashrasha. The Rabban had to go Basra Hashrasha. Otherwise, it would be a mix of all different of last year's stuff and this year's stuff. By the time you gathered it all together to take your maestros, it was picked at so many different times. If you went Basra Lakita, you'd be in trouble. You'd be end up taking maisos from last year's stuff on this year's stuff, and from this year's stuff on last year's stuff. So Amalei Abaye says we could still ask, why did the Chachamim have to make a new measure of which year the kidneys belongs to? It could be they should follow Lakita like Yerakos. And even though the Goren is a mix of Chadash and Yashan, and when by the time they take the maisos, it's going to be a mix of last year's stuff and this year's stuff, it's no problem. We're talking about like rice. We're talking about kidneys over here. V'yitzvar garnel l'tocha v'nim tzatarmin chadshbal chadshbal min yashshbal yashshbal. These are tiny grains. Just mix it really well. And if you mix it really well and you take out one cup of rice, you could be sure you have some of this year's stuff and some of last year's stuff. So it'll be, you'll end up being mafresh from this year and this year, from last year and last year. Milo tanya, after all, don't we learn in Brisa Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur Amar Mishum Rabbi Shimon Shazuri pull a mitzri, a certain type of a bean, shazara lezera, that if you plant it for the seeds, and part, some of them took root before Rosh Hashanah, some after. You can't take Trumas and Maisos from one on the other, because from that which grew last year and that which took root last year and that which took root on that which took root this year, or vice versa. So Ketan Uosis, what do you do? Sober Garna Latocho. Pile it all together, mix it really well. Problem solved. And now whenever you take one cup out, you take a certain percentage out, you know that it's proportional. So Rabbi Shimon Shazuri comment. So Rabbi said, Abai, you're asking me from Rabbi Shimon Shazuri, it's not a kasher. Rabbi Shimon Shazuri, Savri Yesh Bila. Rabbanan Savri Yen Bila. Rabbi Shimon Shazuri holds that it all gets mixed really well. The Rabbanan hold that we don't rely on Bila, that we don't rely on the idea that it all gets mixed really well. Amr Rabbi Yisrael Ben Achmani Yom HaShmuel, Halach Rabbi Yosef Ben Kippur, Shom Yishum Rabbi Shimon Shazuri, that we paskin, that old and new stuff, you just pile it all together, and it does get mixed really well. So Mask Rabbi Zeru, Miyom HaShmuel, Hachi Vam HaShmuel, Lakol Ein Bila, Chutz Miyayin V'Shemen, but didn't Shmuel say that there's no Bila for anything except for liquids? Only liquids get mixed really well. Says where Ishtamite Adam Shmuel Hakol Lechachar Gemar Pri. He had forgotten that which he said, that by kidneys you don't follow the Ashrasha at all. You follow the time of the Gemar Pri, and therefore Shmuel said Allah Shemun Shazuri, because even that which was Hishrish before Rosh Hashanah, even though some was Hishrish before Rosh Hashanah, some was Hishrish after Rosh Hashanah, doesn't matter. That's not called Chadash V'Yashan. It's because we don't follow the Ashrasha. We follow the Gemar Pri, and that all happened during the same year. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick up from the top tomorrow on Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. Everyone have a wonderful Shabbos.